Ryan Carver made my day. He and I were talking about his success as a gym owner and how he learned to break through some of the challenges he faced on his business journey. Ryan told me that part of it was realizing that he'd been neglecting something key in his marketing. He hadn't been following the hero's journey, casting each client and prospect in the role of the hero, with him as the helper or guide. Hi, I'm Jay Croft, and welcome to Optimal Aging, the show for gym and studio owners trying to grow by reaching more people over 50. Now, if you're not familiar with the hero's journey, well, you are familiar with the hero's journey. You just might not have heard it put that way. It's the well-known theory by Joseph Campbell about the basis for most stories in our culture. There's a hero who is called to adventure, who needs a guide, goes through challenges, and emerges victorious. Now, before Ryan had that epiphany, Ryan, like a lot of longtime trainers turned entrepreneur, was focusing too much on himself and his marketing and sharing dry information of interest mostly to other fitness professionals. He told me he had to learn that his marketing needs to focus on the client, not on him, that he had to make it more emotional, that he realized the client is Luke Skywalker, the hero, and he, Ryan, is Obi-Wan Kenobi, the guide. Ryan's gym is Leverage Fitness Solutions near Salt Lake City. Leverage focuses on people over 50 and has been having a lot of success and growth in recent years. In fact, when I saw Ryan last summer at the Functional Aging Summit, he was scouting around for his second location. Now, how did Ryan turn Leverage into a thriving gym serving the quote-unquote older market? Well, it wasn't all about just that Luke Skywalker realization. And I know our conversation here will be of interest to anyone who's trying to serve this lucrative market. So here's this grassroots report from someone who's making it happen every day. Ryan, tell us how you got here.
I've been doing personal training for 19 years, 18 of which focusing on the older adult. And after doing that for several years and kind of getting a full book of clients, I opened up my own studio 6.5 years ago. Once again, specializing in the older adult, starting with just myself. Now we have 5 other coaches, 4 of which are all full-time. We started with the 1,600 square feet and now are just expanded in the last 5 months to 4,000 square feet. Yeah. So we've been blessed. And we're growing.
That's fantastic. Now, is that at the same location or did you open a second one?
Same location. I just, the space right next door came available. So we knocked down the center wall and took it over.
Okay. So you were prepared to do that. You were in a good position to take advantage of an opportunity that came up.
Yeah. Before this happened, for the last like year and a half, I'd been making preparations to open a second location.
That's right.
So I'd been doing like getting all my ducks in a row financially, just getting everything set because I thought I was going to open a second location and this came available. I'm like, well, I essentially get a second location without having to break into a new neighborhood or anything like that. So for me, it was a no-brainer.
And that's why I wanted to talk to you because, you know, we've known each other a little bit, but not really well. And I really admire the way that you have stuck to your principles and made this work so well that you were, I think the last time we saw each other, you were talking about expanding into a new location and now you had an opportunity come up and you were able to pivot. I guess what I want to know, and I think what people listening to this want to know, this is primarily other fitness professionals out there like you who are serving the older market and want to succeed like you are, is how'd you do that? How'd you get to where you were able to make such a move?
A lot of hard work and just like fitness, there's no shortcuts. There's no, you know, magic bullets that I'll instantly go from, you know, a 5'6" scrawny guy to 6'5" Adonis. There have definitely been some things that have made big, big changes that helped. And honestly, one of the biggest ones is finding your weak spots. And if you don't know what your weak spots are, hiring someone that can point out what those weak spots were.
Yeah.
So about 2.5 years ago, I thought I was ready to open a facility. And I came across a guy and like, hey, we'll kind of do a business analysis. I'm like, I'm going to nail this out of the park. I'm a good student. I'm like, I'm going to get a straight A on this.
Yeah.
And because I mean, I track all these different numbers. And so we go through this assessment and I'm giving these numbers. And he's like, hey, what about this number? I'm like, I've never even looked at that number before. I've never even heard of this number. And he's like, okay, what about this number? What about this ratio? I'm like, I haven't looked at any of these ratios. So what was interesting is, according to the information I had, I was totally ready.
Yeah.
But when I looked at not knowing what I didn't know, kind of opening my eyes at where some of these blind spots were, once again, I had no clue. It opened my eyes to realize, wow, I am not ready. And if I were to make that move, it could potentially be disastrous. Mm-hmm. So being able to, once again, cure my ignorance, mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, of saying, hey, I need to look at these different metrics and these numbers. It was my homework for the last 18 months of like, hey, these numbers, these metrics are the ones I need to really be looking at, mm-hmm. to be able to be in a position to be able to make a move whenever I'm ready.
Yeah. So have there been any similar lessons about marketing or your messaging or your communications approach, how you talk to your community? Like, what did you learn about this demographic in particular? Because I really like to share from successful people like you what you're doing right in your communications with your community. And you're there in Utah. It's a very active area. Tell me about
that. So the last 2 years, I've had to, even though I've always been working with the same clientele, mm-hmm. it's like I've had to completely rebrand my messaging because it was off. Mm-hmm. I was putting out stuff, whether on social or email or whatever, but it just, based off of the results, it just wasn't hitting. It wasn't mm-hmm. hitting the mark. So really going back to like really honing in on my unique service offering, that USP or that value proposition, really spending time to craft that, make it really, really good. And then as far as my marketing, like the messaging, like mm-hmm. I've had to really focus on improving my message mm-hmm. because before I would just give a lot of good information.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it was almost too scientific or too, it'd be great for another colleague to look at, mm-hmm. but they're not my clients.
Right.
So everything I was doing, like, I can't say it was like, for me, it was a major overhaul. I had to change how I was saying, make it more relatable, make it more emotional, mm-hmm. make it more like, I think I was my biggest fallacy is I wasn't utilizing the hero's journey. I was the hero mm-hmm. instead of the client. Mm-hmm. So I had to move out of the, I'm the Luke Skywalker role to now I'm the Obi-Wan Kenobi of your journey. And as I've changed my marketing to have it all about them, and I'm helping them with their journey, and let me help you with this problem that you're experiencing and making it more personal. That's where things have started to happen. Like, whether it's email, whether it's an offline presentation to, you know, whatever, all of a sudden my results have gone through the roof because the messaging is hitting. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. Like it resonates with my clients or my potential clients a lot more.
Yeah. It makes sense to me. I talk about it all the time to my clients and to my prospects. And you mentioned the hero's journey and you mentioned Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan. I write about that all the time. I talk about that specific example all the time because it's such a great one. And I see people in your position thinking that they're the star, they're the story, and you know, they're just not. So it was really smart of you to realize that you're Obi-Wan Kenobi. What made you realize that? Because, you know, I'm a writer. I'm very familiar with the hero's journey, but most people aren't. So like, how did you get turned onto that?
It's a long process. I mean, I like to think of myself as a voracious reader.
Yeah.
So I've read books like The Story Brand.
Yeah.
That's where it first got me onto it. And I had to revamp my website to have the, you know, the easy steps, 1, 2, 3 to move them along that journey.
Good.
But it's just constant learning, constant reading, and then hiring out my deficiencies. So periodically through my 20 years, I've hired different coaches to help me at different stages, get kind of break through those plateaus. And right now I'm working with a coach and they're like, hey, you need to dial in your marketing message. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm like, I want to be humble and I want to be teachable, but in the back of my head is like, I already know this.
Yeah.
But as we work through it, I'm like, wow, I was missing the mark. I was like, here's where I need to be. And this is where I'm at. I'm like, just missed it. Yeah. But that big of a difference was meaning I wasn't hitting with the people enough. When I would do a presentation or do an email, it'd be like, okay, that's interesting. I'll keep that on the back burner. That was my response mostly. But now, as I'm doing, whether it's an email, whether it's social media, whether it's a presentation, they're like, oh my gosh, this is it.
Yeah.
This is, I need to do something. And it's just, once again, it's just those small little changes and adjustments have been huge, and just being consistent about it over time. Mm-hmm. It's not just a one and done. Like I've been more diligent about honing my USP and my marketing and who I'm talking to and really getting, I mean, I always thought it was a one and done. I get it. I do it. And I'm learning that, okay, this worked really well. This was still off. Let's hone this. And it's just, I'm learning at this stage of my business. That's my main job. With how I run my facility, all of our trainers train everybody. So it takes out the ego. But that means my main job is I need to fill up the gym. So for me, my main role has been chief marketing guru. Mm-hmm. Let's try and fill up everyone's schedule. So that's been my main role. And as I own that, that's where kind of the magic's been happening. I like I said, it's just consistent, hard, dedicated work, but always working on that. And I think that's the biggest thing for a lot of other fitness professionals. We still want to be the fitness professional.
Yeah.
But to get to a certain level of growth, you've either got to hire that out who gets it, or you've got to become that. And you've got to kind of change and shift your roles and your responsibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you and I talked for, I don't know, a couple of years or so before we actually connected. I'm wondering if it sounds like you were going through a lot of those changes during that time. Is that correct?
Yeah. I'd like to think I'm always reinventing myself.
Yeah.
And it, you know, someone that I talked to 5 years ago, if we reconnect, that I'm a different person because I've evolved and grown. So yeah, when we first connected, I was getting a lot of information. I'm honing and getting better. And at every level, it just seems like that iteration circle comes mm-hmm. around a lot faster. Mm-hmm. When you start as a fitness professional and it's just you, it takes a long time to come back around because there's so much on your plate. So it may be a year or two before you come back and revisit, like mm-hmm. I said, you know, what your packaging, maybe, you know, your pricing, whatever it is, it may take a long time, but as you grow and as you get better and better and you start delegating, you have more people, all of a sudden those cycles are coming so much faster. And that's what I'm experiencing. Like it literally is the difference between running around a track versus spinning around orbit. Like I'm like these iterations are coming so much faster now.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, you mentioned that you used the word ego a few minutes ago to talk about how a trainer wants to continue to have a bigger role. And I'm hearing that it sounds like you have willingly put your ego aside to learn new things about your business, about your communications, about your role. Tell me a little bit about that, because I think people listening to this can really learn from that. It's hard to put your ego aside, especially you had a lot of experience at this. You're a good trainer. You knew what you were doing. Yeah. And how did you have the foresight and I guess the emotional strength to try a different way, you know, to be open to different things?
That's a really, really good question. And I wish I had a profound answer. I'm trying to think if there's something that's like pithy that can come out of my mouth, but it's slow evolutions. Like I knew what I wanted my business to be and I set it up that way, but as it grows, it just kind of keeps growing. And I knew nobody cares about my business as much as I do.
Yeah.
But what I can hire is someone who cares just as much for my clients as I do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I can train them up to my level or pretty darn close, they can take that role. But as far as the marketing, the messaging, like I haven't been able to find someone who cares or knows enough about that to take on that role. So that's the role that I've had to, believe me, I would rather be training.
Yeah.
My clients, that's what I'm good at. That's what I graduated in. Yeah. I didn't graduate in marketing, but I realized that that's the role that I've had to be. And it took a long time, like all last year, this was my role 100% of the time. I mean, I probably only train now 5 to 8 hours a week.
Wow. Okay.
As opposed to training 50 hours a week or 30. I mean, it's always gone down. The more we grow, the less I train to be able to fill and mentor and help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that. But I mean, all last year, I was just like, I hate my life. I don't want to market. Marketing is so not my thing. Like mentally, I was missing the life that I had had.
Yeah.
But I knew that if I wanted the life that I want in the future, that this is a step in the process.
Yes.
So I had to just kind of suck it up, put on my big boy pants and be like, okay, this is the role that's required of me at this time.
Yes.
So my personality is if I'm going to go do anything, I'm going to do it 110%. I'm going to be the best at it that I can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
So I just jumped in with both feet. That's why I'm like, okay, I'm reading books on marketing,
yeah,
on print, on digital, on social. I'm hiring people to help coach me that I'm not as good at. Just like, okay, I'm an athlete. I want to go from being a bench player to a star. So I'm going to hire to help them get me there and see if I can shorten that learning curve. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah. I think that's really smart. I hope people are hearing this and taking inspiration from it because, you know, we all have to change. We all have to go through a willingness to learn new skills and take a different approach if we're going to grow, if we're going to adapt. We were talking about a little bit before we started recording about how uncomfortable I am with the sales part of my job, because I grew up wanting to be a newspaper reporter and became a newspaper reporter, and I never had to sell a thing. I never had to pay a bill. I never had to worry about inventory or anything. I just did, just wrote. That was it. And now on my own, I very quickly had to start learning to be comfortable talking about myself. And it's hard, but I thought of it when you were just talking, because I had that moment. It's like, well, I can continue to act like an old newspaper reporter, or I can do what I need to do to adjust. Right. So you've done that, and it's hard. It's hard, but it's paying off for you.
It's hard. It's paying off, but it's kind of like when we do our sales process, we like to say like, here's your current reality. Here's the reality you want. And there's a gap.
Yeah.
What's filling in that gap to prevent you from doing that? And our job is, hey, as fitness professionals, if we can solve these gaps, we get a client. That's how we sell. Mm-hmm. We solve a problem. I'm not here to like be a used car salesman, but I essentially did the same thing in this role. Like, hey, we need more clients. I've got trainers and I need to fill up their schedule. And I want more clients to be able to make a bigger impact and help more people. So that's my future reality, but I'm here. What's standing in the way?
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, we need to double down on this. And so I'm like, okay, that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Here's another big tip that I learned. I'll give this gem for free, is nobody thinks that they're old.
Yes.
So, and that was part of my problem. I was trying to market to old people.
Yep.
But I had this epiphany when I was training one of my clients. I've known her for years, worked with her for almost 10 years now, and she's 85.
Yeah.
And I was asking her what she was doing. She's like, I'm going out to dinner with some old friends. I'm like, okay, are they old friends as in like longtime friends or old in his age? Like, oh, they're old. They're like 90.
Yeah.
And it was an epiphany because I'm like, you're 85. You're right there.
Yeah.
But she doesn't think of herself as old. And so like we have a 91-year-old like pickleball player, loves playing pickleball. Like he's got a pickleball court in his backyard. He made his own pickleball court and he brings his friends over and he's playing pickleball almost every day of the week.
Great.
As a 91-year-old. We've also got like a 55-year-old who's like, I'm looking at my parents and they're completely disabled. And like, I'm starting to become a caregiver. I'm like, I don't want that for myself. So that's my motivation. And we've got everything in between. I mean, we've got people struggling with menopause. We've got people that are coming back from hip replacements. So we've got all these little semi demographics within our demographic. And it's fun because we've got the skiers, we've got the mountain bikers, we've got the people that do both. We've got the people that are just here for socialization and they just need to get out of the house. But I think the unifying thing that is unifying everyone is freedom. Everyone is afraid of losing something.
Yep.
And for our demographic, it's whether it's losing their competitive edge in skiing, losing the ability to play with grandkids or get up off the ground, losing their independence, losing their mind. So a lot of it is, we're freaking patriotic, man. We sell the American dream of let freedom ring. Obviously, most of them are retired, but one of the things they tell me time and time again is the freedom that they're getting. They had the time, they had the resources, they didn't have the ability. And like one thing that keeps coming up over and over as I talk to clients is this self-confidence or this self-actualization, I guess, of they believed that they couldn't. They were operating and literally verbatim, without talking to other people, several clients have said, when I first came to you, I was living in I can't. And now I'm living in I can and I want to. And that's a big shift. And I wish I could say it was all physical. But yeah, I mean, that's a huge mental shift.
It is. And I love that this comes back to the hero's journey for me, because you just described that moment where you know, at first the hero hears the call to adventure and rejects it, right? The first time they say to Luke, you've got to come fight the Empire. He says, no, I can't. I've got work chores to do or something. I don't remember. And at some point you realize, no, I've got to do this. I've got to go on this adventure and I need a guide, and you're the guide. Yeah. You've made my day. For a geek writer like me to hear you talk about the hero's journey is very exciting. Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess summing up, I mean, it comes back to that hero's journey and understanding what your real role is. I mean, I think too often we see fitness professionals showing videos of themselves lifting weights
with their shirts off,
with their shirts off or whatever. It's like, nobody cares about you. I mean, make it about them. So we try and make the videos and the testimonials and the whatever it is about them.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And that's, like I said, it understanding that and dialing that in every step of that journey and being consistent with it makes a big difference.
Yes, it does. Ryan, thanks very much. This has been very gratifying, and I'm really proud of you for all your effort and all your hard work and all your success that you're having. So congratulations.
Thank you, Jay. It means a lot. And right back at you. I respect you a ton, and I'm glad to see that you're succeeding and that we keep getting to cross paths.
Yes.
And crossing paths more frequently as we go through. So
absolutely.
I love that.
I love it too. And I'm trying to put together a ski trip to Salt Lake here before winter gets by me. If I can get my act together and plan, I'll do that and I'll let you know. Be good to see you.
Yes. Let me know.
Okay.
I'm happy to host.
Thanks, Finn. Okay. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Optimal Aging. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll subscribe, tell a friend, and write a review. All of that helps me grow my audience. You can learn more about me and my content business at primefitcontent.com. You can send me an email at j@primefitcontent.com. That's J-J-A-Y. At primefitcontent.com. I'm also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, so you can find me anywhere you like and be in touch. And again, thanks for listening. Join me next time.